You know, when I had the shower experience in 1995, then a few weeks later, the experience where I saw that consciousness was separate from me, that it didn't touch me. When I told Robert about that experience, the second experience, he acknowledged it as awakening. And he said, "Do you feel the happiness now?" And I didn't. I didn't. Because he always talked about that state as being blissful. And even after a while, the bliss went away. But I didn't. Although it was a wondrous state, and I talk all about it in the book and on my website, there was no happiness. There was no happiness, no sadness, just emptiness. At first, the emptiness was a little frightening, because who was home to watch the store? Then after a while, all the characteristics of emptiness unfolded, and I saw for myself this emptiness and the peace that came in the emptiness. Later on, depression came because of the death of Robert and death of a cat. And also, there was nobody there to love anymore. There was only me. There was no duality. Nothing was separate from me. Therefore, I didn't have anything to love anymore. All of these things were kind of appalling. I think Robert assumed for everyone that what happened to him was similar to what would happen to us being with him. I think he assumed that the deeper you got into the emptiness, the more blissful you'd get, the more you'd feel love and ecstasy. But I didn't. I just felt peace and a long bout of depression as the self, or as the ego, no longer had anything to do. No ends to go for, nothing to do, no one to love, nothing to love, just emptiness. And I was the fullness in the emptiness. I was the emptiness. And then someone came into my life, like I've told you about an endless number of times, that awoke in me the bliss, the energy, the feeling of self that permeated the bliss, permeated the emptiness. The emptiness became alive with energy, with love and bliss. It exploded inside me. And then one day I felt like a complete humility. A descent of golden light through my head, a feeling of descending grace like a rain. I fell to my knees, feeling love for Janet, feeling love for God, feeling love for myself. And the self arose inside of me, a white light, a thousand, brighter than 1,000 atomic bombs. But it wasn't a burning light, it was just intense, intense energy, intense love, intense bliss. Exploding inside of me and outwards. Finally, after 14 years, I felt the bliss. Not gradually, as Robert seemed to imply, that it is as you descended into consciousness, you felt it more and more automatically as part of entering emptiness. But it was a discrete happening with me. a third kind of awakening. Awakening to the pulse of self. The energy of self. Before that, the self was just emptiness, what Siddha Rameshwar called the absolute, which is beyond the senses, beyond experience, pure witness, where everything is away from you and not touching you. But somehow I had missed Turiya, the state of Satchitananda. Robert apparently went through it before I did, before his full awakening into emptiness. I got to emptiness first without awakening of the Kundalini. And I shouldn't say that because I had the Kundalini awakening way before Robert. I met Robert. But I'm talking about the bliss part. So 14 years I was just emptiness. Nothing to do. Nowhere to go. What I'm trying to do in my way of teaching is to give you bliss as at the same time I'm trying to take away the personality and your limitations and your ideas and your concepts. The pure taking away can be a real pain in the ass because it leaves you with less and less every day. Your ideas of who Ben is disappear every day. Is he a man? Is he a body? Is his role as a husband, boyfriend, as a housekeeper, one who goes out and makes money and keeps a home going, as an employee with certain kinds of qualities, certain kinds of intelligences, certain kinds of understandings, knowledge. And with Tim, who is Tim? Does that fly by each day and become less and less certain of as to who you are? Is that depressing or is it enlivening? But where's the bliss? There was no bliss with me. I'm trying to help you find bliss in enduring this process rather than just a falling away and a losing of who you are. But that light, that bliss can be a saving grace because it makes it all worthwhile. It makes losing everything worthwhile. You might say the bliss is the carrot. I didn't have a carrot. This awakening process can be pretty shitty without the carrot. And that's why I try to talk about the technique of finding the I am, loving the I am, abiding in the I am, wondering what the I am is like in its fullness, resting in the I am and loving the I am. Loving what arises, the bliss, enchanting, loving that. Letting that be a signpost that you're getting deeper into yourself. And then I mention one of the best ways is what happened to me spontaneously, automatically. It's like a new way. It's having somebody come into your life and falling deeply, desperately, insanely in love. That too can wake the Kundalini. That too can awaken the bliss in you and make the whole process worthwhile. The third way is the way of awakening Kundalini and the energies, the healing energies. This is Dia's way. It started with Dia many, many years ago, too. when she fell in love many years ago, she started feeling the energies moving inside of her. I feel these energies all the time. Sometimes it's a subtle tingling throughout the entire body. Sometimes it's like an earthquake shaking the whole body. Sometimes it's like electricity moving through the legs, upwards through the pelvis, into the heart. It used to be rivers of light moving upwards through the inner part of my being into my heart, then up to my head, and then radiating outward and out through my hands. And recently I've been finding out I can do healing with these energies, just like the entire Eastern Canadian block there of Tina, Joanne, and Alan. Tim can probably do it too, just by association. It's not that hard to do it once the energies start flowing and you can feel them and you can direct them. You can augment them, have them increase, decrease. You can send them into people. You can heal people. You can heal animals. And then you know you're doing good. So finally, 3 years ago, the bliss awakened in me and entered a whole new dimension to enlightenment. I'm trying to give you that dimension right from the beginning with the kind of exercises I give you and the directions. Not just the emptiness state, the absolute of being the witness. Rajiv got that right away. 3 months he got that, the absolute. The absolute has two sides. You might say the unmanifest side is that of being the witness, totally detached from consciousness and everything that happens in consciousness. The manifest side of the witness is Turiya, Satchitananda, the fourth state, which is the root of all consciousness. So I just knew the one side, the unmanifest side. And it's boring after a while. The manifest side, though, that's pulsating with life and energy, happiness and bliss. It's more important, I think, to awaken that part in you first rather than the second part of the absolute, the unmanifest, to come alive with those energies, to feel them moving through your body, sort of purifying the body, making it stronger, more able to benefit from the coming awakening of both the manifest and unmanifest absolute. That's why I say it's really helps to exercise the love muscle, to practice love as much as possible, as often as possible, to feel it flowing inside of you. You can visualize it flowing inside of you. Look inside of you. What is love like to you? How do you experience love? For a moment, look inside of yourself. Close your eyes. Look into your body. And if you can feel inside of your body, what do you feel? Can you feel a love in your heart? Is there just emptiness there, or is it pulsating with life and light and energy? Look inside and find the essence of energy around your heart. Let it grow. See, it. What you put your attention on is where the energy goes. If you put it in your heart, you'll feel the energy there and it will grow and become a white light, maybe. And if you do that long enough, the self begins showing itself to you, the little self. And you feel the descent of grace with its golden light. It feels like a golden rain, sometimes like a stream of gold entering from the top of your head, flowing downwards inside of yourself, the color of gold, maybe 6 inches, 8 inches wide, flowing downward, feeling totally humble, totally grateful for the grace that's being disposed. The word is gone. That is being shown to you. So much happiness to be at the feet of the divine, which is you. Whether you're a man and you worship it as a goddess, or a woman and worship it as God or Christ, it's there in you. Krishna consciousness, God consciousness, Christ consciousness. And you bow. You fall to your knees. And the goddess puts her foot on your shoulder. And that's all you want. To be touched by her or by him in divine grace. And you, as Tim, as Ben, as Matthew, as Sylviana, as Kevin, knows that you're being touched by God, which is your true self. The little you, the little Tim, is being graced by the goddess or the god, who soon becomes like a big brother or big sister, always with you and around you, through you. No more fear, for she is with you, your own true self, goddess or god, divine, with the descending golden light. She rises in you with a blinding white light from your gut and upwards through your heart, then into your head, and then upwards and outwards. Blinding white light, immense power, pulsating throughout the universe, and everything is her. Everything is you. Everything inside and outside is God. And you rest in that, totally complete, totally whole. So, when I add to the way I taught 4 years ago, was self-inquiry, but of feeling the I am, not watching the I thought, but feeling the I am. Not looking for the source of the I thought, like Robert taught, like Ramana taught, but feeling the I am, first maybe as energy, sometimes as the touch of the I am. Stay with the I am. Then add to this loving the I am, loving yourself, loving this I am, which leads you to the self. Deep down through various layers of consciousness lies the fourth state, Turiya, Satchitananda, or love bliss body. The I am, like an elevator shaft, takes you down there. Just follow it by loving the I am. And the goddess comes up and greets you halfway. Showers you with divine grace, and your heart rests complete for she is with you all the time. Shakti is with you all the time. And perhaps, if you're lucky, something comes into your life. Somebody comes into your life, or somebody that's already there suddenly takes on a new meaning. The deepest love imaginable. The deepest worship, the same worship you had for the goddess, you feel for that other person or an animal. A cat. Utter worship. When you see her image, your heart explodes in love. When you see her face smile at you, you feel humility and ecstasy. You feel touched and you feel gratitude that she has seen you, or he has seen you. And you embrace in love, and you become speechless because the love is so great. And then you see that your beloved in the flesh, whether a cat, a lover, a friend, a student, or a guru, is really you. You and that person are one. The God in her, in him, is the same as the God in you, is the same as you. But that other person has brought you to this realization. You see the God in her, the goddess, or the God. And seeing it in that person, you recognize it in yourself. It's like love. When you love someone, the love is in you. The love for that other is in you. And you can turn your attention on that love you feel in your body, in your energetic being which surrounds the body. And you see it's your love. Not hers, not his. But you have created it. It's your essential nature. That love is you. You are love. You identify with love. You become love. The same thing with the self. After you've experienced that kind of love enough times, you see it all around you. You see the self all around you. Yourself is everywhere, in everything, in everybody. But loving someone else so madly, intensely, like you would God himself, herself, creates in you such divine grace, such happiness, such joy, quiet joy. Your whole body trembles in ecstasy of being nothing, nothing before the goddess you see, who is also nothing. The third way is feeling the energies in the body. Feeling the energies course up and down your body, with which you can heal, with which you feel the bliss, with which you feel the ecstasies. And somebody comes around you and they can feel your energy and they just want to be around you. Because the energy is healing, enlivening, gracening. The more you feel it, the more others around you feel it. They can bask in it, and it begins to resonate in them. They feel it. They feel the rising energy from the base of the spine. From a place 1 inch above the perineum, I think it's called, where it migrates into the spine, up the spine through the various chakras. When it happened to me, it was when I first started practicing meditation in the late 60s. I was practicing 8 or 10 hours a day. And the Kundalini came up my spine on the right-hand side. It was extremely painful. It felt like a pencil was being driven up through the middle of my spine on the right-hand side of the spine. It always got stopped in the heart chakra. And eventually it penetrated there, went to the top of the head and tried to force its way through like a pointy pencil trying to penetrate the skull. Then it went forward, down again, back to the pelvis and into that first chakra and circulated that way. Went on for 3 years. Until I went to Mount Baldy Zen Center and it stopped. Whatever Sasaki's energy was up there, it stopped it, and I learned to go into samadhi. I try to give you these things by giving you methods or listening to satsang or bullshitting you in general to give you some idea. Get rid of your, see, it's really important to get rid of concepts, because the mind, as long as it has something to hold on to, or identities or ideas about spirituality, ideas about what a guru is like or what a student should be like, ideas about what awakening is, ideas about all of these words like beingness and be here now and the absolute, all of these ideas, if you think about them, just become trapped where you put your energy and you spend your time thinking, thinking, thinking about what does this mean? Where am I at with respect to Edgy's understanding or Nisargadatta's understanding? If you just be quiet, don't ask questions, just feel what's going on inside of you. See the rising light and love. Feel the surrender. Feel the chakras. Feel the energies. Learn how to heal. All these are three gates towards bliss and towards love and towards light that I'm offering you now that I didn't have when I was with Robert. I want the passage to be easier for you, not just a taking away and leaving you emptier and emptier. Yeah, one of the other things is the chanting and the bliss that comes with chanting. Let's try a massive dose of it right now. I'm going to turn on all the energy I can and radiate it outwards while you're listening to this chant and see if you can feel it. This time, let's try on the left-hand side, Jaya Jagatambe. It's 12 minutes long. I'm going to send you everything I got. Just try to receive it, have it circulate in your body. Feel the bliss of chanting. Go into samadhi if you want, if you can. Feel the music go through you, penetrate your heart, penetrate your crown, penetrate the first chakra, unify the whole spine, the whole system of energy. Let it arise in you, or let it descend as golden grace, however it works for you. At the count of four, the right little triangle on Jaya Jagatambe. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I did my part. Reminds me of a raunchy joke I heard this Australian telling while drinking beer on stage. His girlfriend complained in the morning when he wanted to have sex that she felt all roughed up from last night all raw. And he said, well, look, I did my part. I got hard. Your part was to get wet. Well, I did my part. Were you wet? So what I'm trying to do is to make it easier for you than it was for me. Wandering in that kind of dull emptiness that was depressing at a time for 14 years before the bliss came. It's kind of an emptiness and a loss of time. Therefore, I give you all these methods to make it easier. To give you some compensation for losing everything, because in spirituality, you lose everything that you think you are. It all goes bye-bye. All the ideas you had about yourself, all the ideas you had about spirituality, all your ideas about the guru, all the ideas about being a student, and all the ideas you've accumulated from reading all those books about spirituality. The absolute beingness, present, here and now, eternal. There's so many traps, so many ideas, and you have to get rid of all of them just to find out who you are by direct perceiving your own nature. And part of that is what I missed was the ecstatic energy that pulsates through consciousness, that fills the emptiness with life and love. I want you to have that right away, at the beginning, as much as possible, to make it easier, to sort of light your way with carrots, rather than just sticks of trying to get away from depression, or anxiety, or hatred, or dullness, or emptiness. But to give you something to shoot for that accompanies you, that soothes you, that makes it worthwhile. Are there any questions?